closer look at the life and legacy left to us by His Holiness Vazgen I of blessed memory. Nothing like what you'd expect. Something that only, well, you'd hear on The Next Step, because this is Father Vazgen. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the emotional, psychological, physical, and everything in between. Episode number 585 is coming your way, and I invite you to take that next step with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting The Next Step with Father Vazgen. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Vazgen brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
You know, it's the sixth letter of the Armenian alphabet. No matter how you say it, whether you pronounce the letters themselves, I, Pin, Kim, Ta, Yech, Za, or whether you pronounce just the pronunciation, the sound that the letters make, A, B, G, D, Ye, Z, Z. It's the Z. Yeah, of course, it follows the Greek alphabet, doesn't it? Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta. Yeah, it's the Z. That's the letter that they spell Vazgen with. The name Vazgen in Armenian is spelled with the sixth letter of the Armenian alphabet, with a Z. It's never been spelled with an S, a S. I don't know what it is, but people feel very, very empowered to change that Z to a S. Vazgen. It's not Vazgen. It's Vazgen. And actually, all Armenian words have their accent on the last syllable. So it's not Vazgen. It's Vazgen. Yeah, it's always on the last syllable. And it is a Z. Whether you like it or not, whether you've seen it spelled a million times with an S, it's not. It's spelled with the Z. And it's the sixth letter of the Armenian alphabet. Now, it's interesting because I've seen so many people take liberties with the alphabet. And it's very interesting because now people are changing things that don't need the changing. And I'm not talking about just the differences in the way the language is presented. I know there's Eastern and Western, and I'm not talking about that. I'm very well versed in it. I happen to study the Eastern Armenian, and I happen to study the Western Armenian spellings, and I'm pretty proficient in both spellings. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, for instance, in the case of names, like, for instance, let's take something like Jacob. Now, that directly translates to Hagop, okay? Hagop is Jacob. And you could just tell that if it's a J, then it's going to be spelled with the old-time he, and now it's the and they've changed that and everything. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm talking about is, for instance, Hagob. It's the last letter of the Jacob. It's a B, right? Therefore, it is the Ab, right? The second letter of the alphabet, Jacob, Hagob. You know right away it's the second. Now, what we're seeing people do is pronouncing it as a B and then changing it to a B. And it's really wild. You can't do that. You can't, but people are doing it, and they're getting away with it, okay? I'm very sensitive to it because, you know, the name Vazgen, we have the Z. In the Armenian alphabet, it's spelled with a V. Ah is basic. But the next two letters, The Z is the sixth letter of the Armenian alphabet, and the next letter is the G, which is the third letter of the alphabet, and again, corresponding to the Greek alphabet, alpha, beta, gamma, right? It's a hard G. And I struggled with this because I had that unique opportunity in life to receive my name late in life. In other words, I was 26, and, you know, it's like usually when you get a name, you can't even think, right? You can't even see. You don't even know what's going on. They're just telling you. They're just calling you by that name. But as a priest, you get your name when you're ordained. So I had a few days because I also had that 40-day period afterwards before I needed to go out in the public. So I contemplated, how am I going to spell this name, Vazgen? And I actually, we have an ornament outside of the 40-day period excluded, and we were coming up against Christmas, and we have an ornament that we made at that first Christmas, and I had spelled it V-A-Z-G-E-N, because that's how I wanted. But then I spoke with my ordaining bishop, and he said, you know, the Catholicos of all Armenians spells it with a K. And so I went with the K spelling, but, you know, the third letter definitely is a Z. There's no S there. It's a Vazgen. And, the K also, I agreed with that because usually the G we could say with a hard G sound, but it doesn't really translate that well, does it? Because there's a soft G sound, so it could be Vazgen. And I didn't want to get into that, but I like the hardness of the K, Vazgen. So anyway, and you know what, when you write it in a handwriting, it's kind of neat the way the lines, one line goes under and one line goes above. But for those of you aesthetically challenged, we won't even go into that part, okay? Just take it that it's a beautiful name that I was very fortunate to get. I was very, very honored. It was the 27th anniversary of His Holiness Vazgen I, that he was ordained as the Catholicos of all Armenians. He was ordained and consecrated as Catholicos 27 years to the date, the day that I was ordained as a priest. And my ordaining bishop, Archbishop Vache Hovsepian, he gave me that name in honor of the Catholicos, in a sense to say that the Catholicos, let's honor him by naming the youngest priest in the entire Armenian church with his name. And I was very, very honored. In fact, it's been a point of, for me, of really living up to that name, a challenge. It's been a point of a challenge for me. Am I worthy of that name? And that's what we're going to be talking about today, because we just commemorated the 25th anniversary of the passing of His Holiness Vazgen I. I tell you a little bit about it. I gave some personal reflections last week. What I want to do this week is, I was so moved. I was so moved because we had this event and a couple things happened. And that's, I'm going to use this as a preface to what we're going to do today. One of them is that I took seven different thoughts from His Holiness. Seven different thoughts that he had spoken about ecumenism. He had spoken about peace, about unity. He had spoken about revival and resurrection. And I took those seven writings and I gave them to seven young people to get up and read. Because the entire program that we had, and in case you didn't hear last week, we commemorated the 25th anniversary of passing, but in so doing, our Archbishop wanted us to really emphasize his legacy, not to make it into a biography where we spoke about where was he born and so on, but rather let's talk about what is the legacy that he leaves 25 years later. So I chose seven young people to read some of these thoughts from His Holiness. And in so doing, I took a bold position, and this is only because I have a really hard time with it. I visit so many Armenian churches, and I'm shocked. I'm shocked by what I see inside the Armenian churches when it comes to a language issue between the Armenian and the English. First of all, one of the things that I just can't understand, for instance, they'll have a reading that's in Armenian and everyone will stand. And then when the same reading is done in English, everybody will sit. Now, why? We don't know. But basically, it's like to say that, okay, maybe English is the stepchild of the church. We don't stand up for that. I don't know what it is. Okay, that's one thing that kind of bothers me. But the second thing that bothers me is the repeat. And I've tried. If you've gone to my sermons page, Sermons from Glendale page, I have something like, 100 sermons up there. But what's interesting that so many people always comment about, and I'm very proud of this, that's why I'm sharing it with you. I don't repeat the same sermon in Armenian as in English. Yeah, the thoughts are there. Yeah, sure, we do repeat some of it. But it's basically to let's give a new idea. Because so many times you go into an Armenian church and you hear the priest repeat the Armenian in English. And I understand it's difficult to write two sermons, but I always think about the person who understands both languages. If it's a good sermon, yeah, okay, it fortifies it. But if it's a lousy sermon, man, they got to sit through two of those. Holy moly. So, let's give a little bit of variety. And I try my best to give an Armenian and an English two different sermons up until this day. And so the same way at this event that we had, when was it, last Tuesday night? Yes, I will definitely put a link on today's show notes so you could see bits and pieces, clips of the event. And there should be a video out soon, maybe even by the time we publish tonight. If that's available, we'll put a link on our show notes as well. But what I did is I took 7 kids and I gave them different readings. So that one read in English, the other read in Armenian, but they weren't translations. They were 7 independent thoughts of His Holiness. And I thought to myself, wow, this is really the legacy that He leaves. He leaves these words that not only inspired back then, during the Cold War, during those most difficult times, but they are words that inspire new generations today. I think the greatest compliment I received from Tuesday night, one of the young people, he came up to me and he said, I wish we could do 3 or 4 of these dedicated to Vazgen Catholicos in the next few months, because there is so much today. You opened up so much information. There's so much to learn. I wish we could do 3 or 4 more of these. That to me was a beautiful compliment coming from a young person. And, it's along the lines of what we've been doing last few years with the Reclaim conferences. It's really giving young people an opportunity to explore their spirituality. So there we were. We explored the words of His Holiness Vazgen I of blessed memory. And the second thing that happened that made me before I go there, and that's the prime reason for today's podcast, I want to share with you, the listeners, some of those words. But the second thing that happened, and this was interesting, and His Eminence Archbishop Hovnan Derderian had a very unique relationship with the Catholicos, in that he was very much like a son to the Catholicos. The Archbishop is a bright man. He's incredibly active. People who know him know that he just doesn't stop. He's like constantly going and creating opportunities for the church to shine. And he had a very unique relationship with the Catholicos, so much so that the Catholicos himself ordained him. Now, this is unusual. Catholicos does not ordain priests. They usually ordain bishops, and that's about it. But in this case, with him and 3 of his friends, they ordained in 1980. The Catholicos himself ordained him and named him Hovnan. And I found this really beautiful story that the Archbishop relates. It was the day that the Catholicos died, August 18th, 1994. And he says, I was called to the Catholicos' residence early that morning, and I saw him there, and I held his hand. And he goes on to say how, holding his hand, looking into his eyes, he says, Your Holiness, it's me, Hovnan. I'm here. And he said, it's the first time that somebody important in my life slipped away. It was my first time confrontation with death, and of a loved one like that. And he went on to say, you know, how touched he was at that moment of passing. And it got me to think, where was I? The Catholicos, I shared with you last week, Vazgen I, was a giant. He left these huge footprints. In my life, he was a very special, special person. And yet, 1994, where was I? I really had a hard time trying to remember where I was at that moment when he slipped away, when he passed. And then I got the answer. Literally, moments before we started recording today, moments before I came into the studio. Yeah. So I was sitting in front of my computer, writing the notes for today's podcast, getting things ready, ready to go on air. Ken came, adjusted the microphone, everything was going, and I had my computer open, and all of a sudden I get a notification on Facebook. I'm being tagged on something. What is it? Somebody, you know, how come the Armenian church, how come you lousy priests have not, no, they didn't say lousy, but you could read that, okay? How come you haven't commented about the immigration and about what's going on with these immigrants and things? And I'm like reading this, I'm going, well, maybe if you get your head out of Facebook and kind of explore other places, how about coming to church? How about listening to our sermons? How about coming and listening to our Bible studies? I mean, the world doesn't begin and end on Facebook. I'm thinking, like, how dare you say something like that? Why? Just because you're on Facebook and I choose not to, you know, put something as emotional, something as serious, as something as so important on Facebook, between pictures of your grandson's fish that he caught at summer camp and pictures of the balloons that you sent up to the sky, just because I choose not to use Facebook. I mean, give yourself a break and say, get myself out of here and let me see what is being said. So it was just very... Anyway, I get very sensitive about these people who think the world begins and ends on Facebook, Instagram. Well, why should I? I mean, our president, like, sits there and tweets. That's the national conversation is made by tweets. Okay, anyway, as I'm reading that, I see another little item. It comes up on my feed, and I use that word truly, a little item, and it is a dear friend, Diana, who wrote that it has been 25 years ago that her daughter Alyssa passed away. And I looked at the pictures and I read it, and my eyes teared up. That's where I was. It was exactly 25 years ago today that Alyssa left us. And those last days, I was in the hospital room. I was with this little young girl, 14 years old, who was leaving this world because of a horrible thing called cancer. And I remember those last days, taking her from Stanford Hospital, driving down to Fresno, and just horrible, horrible things. And it just clicked in my head, like, yeah, that's where you were. That's why it's foggy. You don't remember Vazgen the First passing away. Oh, sure, we do remember. We did honor him. But he was literally a giant who left a huge footprint because he led an incredibly big life. He impacted so many people. And then here was this little girl, Alyssa, who broke our heart because we were fighting there with her. And she left us. It was just another slap in the face that how destructive this horrible, horrible disease, cancer, is. But we didn't let cancer win. We kept her spirit, emotions. In fact, to this day, I mean, I remember her so well because when she passed, her mother gave me a beautiful coffee cup, which was from Alyssa. It's got little spots on it of a cow spots. It says, "There's a spot in my heart for you." And I use it to this day. I didn't realize that. It's been 25 years. Been drinking my morning coffee out of that. In fact, it's right next to me right now. Having it as we do this podcast. And I know Alyssa's with me. And that's where I was when the Catholicos passed away. And so here we are 25 years later, remembering two people. Like I said, just moments before I came into the studio, I recognized where I was. And that's what we're going to be looking at. As I read through the Catholicos' messages, I want to bring to focus the importance of not how great, how big the life is, but the importance of what you say and do during that life. For me, Alyssa was that little hero who did that. She took life on head on. She fought. She was tough. She was inspiring. And that's what the Catholicos was the other night. So in a sense, all these things came together to put together today's podcast. I was inspired because the young people were reading. I was inspired because his eminence was holding the hand of the Catholicos. And I thought to myself, where was I when that happened? And I realized that I was holding the hand of this little girl as she slipped away. She slipped away. And I hate to say it, we lost that battle. She lost that battle. But you know what? I'm changed forever. And I think the Catholicos did exactly that too. He changed us forever. So with that, that's where we're going to go in the second portion. We're going to be listening to some things. I wanted this first portion to be a preface. And in providing that preface, giving you some food for thought. And when we come back, we're going to be reading some of his, but I'm also going to tell you about his name. Because I told you about the spelling of his name. How about if I told you what that name is, okay? Coming up. We take a break every week to play a song. We call it the song of the day, song of the week, just something a little special to break up our few minutes together, and in so doing also to inspire us and kind of lift up our spirits. Here's the one I picked out for today.
Times I've waited patiently for you, and you'll do just what you choose to do. Somebody said to me, you know that I could be in love with almost everyone. I think that people are the greatest fun. And I will be alone again tonight, my dear. Thank you. to me. You know that I could be in love with almost everyone. I think that people are the greatest one. And I will be alone again tonight, my dear.
Alone Again Or is the name of that song by a group called Love. Yeah, that's the name of the group, Love. That's why I played it. 1968, I believe it was 1968. And a few years ago, this song, it just was kind of, it crept up on me. It was in my memory banks. You know, it was like somewhere in the memory. It was the random access type, you know, like trying to figure out what this song was. I just kept hearing the melody line. I didn't know the words, and trying to figure out what is that melody? What was the name of the song? And unfortunately, I thought at that time that there would be a nice little app or a gimmick or some kind of program or a Google device that you could kind of Google a sound. So imagine if you went up to Google and you said, what's this song? And then you hummed, da 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 da. And then it spit it out like that's by Roberts, and it gave you a name, something like that. Well, imagine if this song that was bothering me, I could just hum it. And I couldn't. There was no such thing. And I went through quite a bit. I can't remember how I discovered it, but I did find it. I eventually did find it. And I was surprised more than anything else that the name of the group was Love. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, like the 1960s, like, wouldn't you think like that name would have already been used and like somebody would have claimed it, or it would have reached a more prominent position than a small little group that maybe had a one hit? I believe this is their only hit. I know they did a few other things. I did get the entire album, and there are some really nice gems on that album. But this one was the one that hit the charts. And it just remained with me. It's a song that I really, really care for. And it brings back a lot of good memories, and I wanted to share it with you, primarily because the name of it is called Love. And you'd be surprised where that love pops up in the next portion of this podcast. Keep you in suspense. I will tell you right off the bat where that word love pops up next in this podcast, and of all places, on the tombstone. It was the other night that we commemorated the 25th anniversary of His Holiness Vazgen I's passing 25 years ago. And we had a really great speaker, Father Hovel Ohanian from the St. Vartan Oakland Armenian Church in Oakland, California, yeah. And he spoke it was a very moving, a lot of passion, inspiring speech about what was the legacy that he left. And he concluded by talking about the gravestone. And if you've been to Holy Etchmiadzin, you know that at the front of the Mother Cathedral, there are a few graves of some prominent Catholicoi. And I think in that group is Horen Catholicos Murapekian, who was, I believe his stone is up there. And there is Mugerdich Kharimian, I believe, is also up there. And Karekin the First of blessed memory. But the prominent one is Vazgen the First. And it is not unusual to go up to that grave and to see flowers, fresh flowers on there. Even now, 25 years later, people do remember him. It was interesting because I don't know if I shared this with you, our listeners, but I did the other night too, that last month when I was in Sasanashen, I visited this small little chapel that was out there on the Araradyan Plain. And I made the podcast about that chapel. But what was interesting is inside that chapel, there was just a few items. There was a small little table that had an altar-like presence. There was a couple candles in there, a cross, an icon of Jesus, and a photograph, a picture of His Holiness Vazgen the First. And this is one of those pictures that you see throughout Armenia. Two things you can't touch in Armenia are usually in people's houses. One is Mount Ararat, a picture of Mount Ararat, and the other one is of Vazgen the First. He was just loved. He was honored and truly a father to the Armenian people. So what was the legacy that he left? And Father Hovel made a very good point. He went up to that grave in front of Holy Etchmiadzin and looked at the picture of that grave. And the inscription on it is the words from St. Paul. Love never ends. Love never ends, right? From Corinthians chapter 13. Love never fails. Love is there. And that's how His Holiness Vazgen I, really, that's the legacy, because that's how he approached everything. He approached it with love. He went through some of the most difficult times in the history of the Armenian Church. You've got to remember that when we say Cold War, and the Soviet presence was very big. In fact, today, earlier today, I did a funeral for a gentleman, and I won't use the names, but a prominent professor was there, and he was talking to me about the Catholicos, because he was at our event a few nights ago. And he said, you know, the Catholicos let us down a few years ago because he had invited Parajanov, the director, and he did not greet him personally. And we found out later that, you know, the Communist Party had stepped in and didn't want Parajanov to come there. That's a sideline story. It's not important, the dynamics of it. But the reason I bring it up is because the communist presence was very big. It was felt. You knew that there. And His Holiness Vazgen I really did a dance on a string. He had to play so many different angles. And you may say that, wow, well, what's, you know, like, why did he do it? Why didn't he just stand up to the communists and tell them to take a hike, leave? And I'll tell you why. I think the answer is in his name, Vazgen. And this is the story I shared the other night. I want to share with you, our listeners. The name Vazgen, before His Holiness was ordained, was not really used that much in the Armenian people. In fact, in an interview that was conducted by Archbishop Avak Asadurian, he's the primate of Iraq right now, he asks the Catholicos straight out. He says, Vazgen was not particularly in popular use, both among laity and clergy. So where did your ordaining bishop, Bishop Garabed Mazlumian, where did he come up with the name Vazgen for you? And His Holiness said, that is a good question. And he gave this following answer. He said, during the resistance movement in the region of Van, so we're talking resistance movement, we're talking about the late 1800s. In the region of Van, a young freedom fighter named Vazgen was killed. The Turks took the body of this young hero from door to door to find his family so that they could punish or to inflict harm upon them. So you get the idea. They had killed Vazgen, who was fighting against the Turks. So they now took his body, and they're going to now go and punish the family. And they're taking his body door to door. When Vazgen's mother surrounded by her family members, saw the breathless body of her son. She tells the Turk soldiers that she doesn't recognize the body. In Vehapad, His Holiness the Catholicos, as he's saying the story, he was so moved that he paused for a moment. He sighed. And then he continued. Do you know what kind of courage it took for a mother to show such restraint? She held that unmatched strength to save the rest of her family. The godfather for my ordination was a member of the Diocese of Romania, originally from Vaughan. His name was Ruben Israelian. It was according to his wish that Bishop Mazlumian renamed me Vasken. And what I'm going to propose to you is that His Holiness really was somebody who followed that name, this story, where he says, do you know what kind of courage it took for a mother to show such restraint? She saved the rest of her family members. That's the kind of courage Vasken the First had. He knew when to be quiet. He knew to have restraint, and he knew how to get things done. Remarkable. I'll never forget the St. Sarkis Church. If you've been to Yerevan, you see that St. Sarkis Church as you come into the city. I remember when it was being built. I was there. And what was remarkable about this building was that you wouldn't know that it was being built. What did he do? There was an old structure, the St. Sarkis Church. He had the church built from the inside. And then when construction was finished, they took down the old church. And voila, there's a brand new church there. And that you can use as a metaphor for how he worked with the communists, with the Soviets. Yeah, you would have loved to have seen him in more of a John Wayne kind of like, hey, what are you doing, partner? And then shoot him up and move forward. But perhaps it's that diplomacy that we all lack and we can learn from him. And I'll be the first one to say it. I could use that lesson. I mean, my whole life has been one of just mouthing off. And now as I'm getting older, I realize the importance of when to speak. You've got to figure out which battles are worth fighting. Yeah, not all battles are equal. You got to figure out, you know, this is the one that I want to win. So I've got to temper it. I've got to figure out how to do this. And he certainly knew how to do that. Perhaps it came from age, but I think that really more than that is if we truly believe that the Holy Spirit guides the church, you have to believe that this was a wisdom that came upon the Catholicos that was higher than himself. Because his entire story, his entire life story, and how he interacted with the communists and with the different factions inside of the church was really one of an inspiring one of understanding how the Holy Spirit moved and went forward. I want to share with you a couple of his writings because I know there's limited time. And what I just decided, I looked over at Susie and asked her if she'll do it while we were playing the song, if she'll put up the entire book. Okay, so I have a small little booklet. We will have this scanned, and she said that we could pull this off in the next few hours, so it'll be in the show notes, okay? So this is a small book called Messages and Addresses by His Holiness Vasken the First, with an S, okay? But you know better. You know better, right? So you don't need to deal with that S. You know that it's supposed to be with a Z, okay? I'm going to read for you. So do check out the show notes because taken a little bit more than I wanted to, but I want you to read some of this. This is from a message that he gave at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. It's called One in Christ, And he's talking to ecumenical leaders. He's talking, of course, to Armenian people, to the people there assembled, the Roman Catholic Church. And I'm going to just do some excerpts from this. He says, even though the term dialogue with the contemporary world is a new expression, its beginnings as a mode of Christian life and action go to the time of the apostles. Imagine that. He's talking about dialoguing with contemporary world. This is 1968. This is not 2019, when we basically figured out how to not dialogue with the contemporary world. Back then, he was talking about dialoguing, about working with the contemporary world, 50 years ago. And he's tying it in with apostolic times. Well, why not? Because he is the rep of the true apostolic church. Were they not Christ's apostles who initiated the great dialogue with their contemporary world? And is it not true that the luminous personalities of the church constantly, for centuries, followed the same course? We believe that they well understood the signs of the times, understood the social degradation, crying injustices and moral ills of their time, and knew how to plunge into the torrent of life, so to renew human life through the light of the gospel, dispensing peace, consolation, and the great hope of salvation. In the course of their history, all churches have produced apostle-like spiritual fathers. When St. Francis of Assisi cast away his garments of silk to put on the rags of a mendicant, when he kissed the leper, and when he stated to the Bishop of Assisi that if we amassed riches, we would have to provide weapons with which to defend our wealth, were these not bold attempts in his time to seek forms of dialogue with the contemporary world? Are some bells ringing now in your head, right? Contemporary world, relevancy, the importance of relevancy. This is what he talks. The next one I want to read is from First to Learn, Then to Teach. And this is a message that he gave to the Ecclesiastical Assembly of the Eastern Diocese of the Armenian Church. And again, I'm only going to do some excerpts for the limitation of time, okay? Today we wish to concentrate our message on certain thoughts and exhortations. Number one. We find it timely first to speak of the distinct character of the Armenian communities and the Armenian clergy. There is no doubt that the primary mission... Ready for this? Okay, this is not 2019. Not the year 2000. This is not 1990s. We're talking about 1968. We're talking 50 years after the genocide. We're talking in America, where everybody's talking about all this kind of stuff about preserving people and everything. This is how he, the Catholicos of all Armenians, understood the goal of the church. Ready? There is no doubt that the primary mission of the clergyman is religious. To preach God's word to his congregation and to guide it toward the recognition of God and to practice the message of the gospel of Christ. Historically, this mission is carried on among the Armenian people by the Armenian church, the church whose members are the people of Armenia. All the children of the Armenian nation starting from the days of Saint Gregory the Illuminator. He goes on. And this is an important distinction, one which we've talked about, right? To understand that the message is there and how it is delivered, how it interacts with our cultural self, with our being, and how it influences our identity. So that's number one. He talks about that. Second, he says, today the Christian churches, individually and collectively, consider it opportune and indispensable to determine the role and place of the church in the world. The church and the modern world, or the church in dialogue with the modern world, or the calling of the church in the modern world, are mere formulas by which all express the same basic ideas. differentiating one from the other only in certain gradations of color and degree. Right. He's just like cutting to the chase, like, okay, these are all words you guys are using, but let's get down to the brass tacks. What's this about? This idea, this differentiation from each other, we consider a new attestation of the vitality of Christian thinking. Today, all humanity in its present mode of living, with its external appearances, its thoughts and tendencies, is in the grip of deep crisis, has almost lost its course. We will not be mistaken if we also speak of the crisis of ecclesiastical life and religious life. Concealing the facts is not a healthy way of thinking. Moreover, not to observe or not to be able to observe the facts is a sign of weakness, a sign that we ourselves as clergymen doubt the truth of our faith and the mission of the church. In other words, you got to speak out about it. I mean, you either believe it or you don't, right? Yes, the world is in a turmoil today and humanity is in its agony of soul searching. All are suffering from a lack of religious certitude, equilibrium, and peace. This situation is the challenge directed to us as clergymen so that we may open our eyes to search and find the means that may satisfy the need of man today. I mean, you're talking 1968, right? You're talking about the height of the Vietnam War. You're talking about here in America, this speech is being given in New York. You're talking about Vietnam. You're talking about the counterculture. You're talking about this rebellion. Already the president's been shot. The hope of that was on Martin Luther King for civil rights, he was shot. Bobby Kennedy, the day after Martin Luther King is shot, gets up and he makes one of his final speeches. He talks about, you know, have some care in moving forward, because I too have felt a white man kill my brother. And sure enough, just a few months later, he was shot down. And the world is in turmoil. And here comes the Catholicos, and he's talking about in these terms. He says, this means that we have to continue our Christian mission in a new light, with a new spirit, in such a way as if the gospel was being preached especially for the modern world. We think that there is much truth in Giovanni Papini's words, every age has its own gospel. This directive leads the church toward the issues of the modern world, toward a dialogue with the modern world, and still more. We believe in the word still. Our moral conscience impels us to think about reconstructing the world and man's life with Christ and with the Holy Gospel. By all means, we can think with certainty of the great and irreplaceable role of the Gospel of Christ in reconstructing the world and man's life. Are we in for a revolution or what? And who's giving that revolution? Who's sounding that up? Yes. The head of the Armenian Church. Wild, isn't it? Let's go on a little bit more. He talks about nation, the understanding of nation. He talks about how that comes into preserving the national character. He talks about the different people that were involved in this church. And he finally concludes this message by saying, before concluding, we wish to bring to your attention the most important question related to the reform of our church. It is the education and reform of the clergy. It is our firm conviction that the paramount need for the reform of the Armenian church is to have spiritual servants, bishops, vartabeds, priests, and deacons who are worthy of their calling. Today, there is no doubt that the Armenian church has within her ranks many faithful, virtuous, and devoted clergymen, but not a sufficient number. And of course, he's talking about a time when it was so necessary for the church to be at the forefront of our communities. Like I said, I'm looking at the time. I really wish I had a little bit more time to go on with this. It's just beautiful. So let's put a pause in it, okay? I'm sorry. I really started off today wanting, but probably it's good that we're going to stop here because it is too meaty. It's like having this big giant meal and not being able to digest it all. So let's stop right there, and let's not make this the last time we visit some of the words of His Holiness Catholicos Vazgen I. I started off telling you about a name that's very important to me, the worthiness that I sometimes feel. Do I have the right to have that name? I shared with you the story of what that name meant to him, to His Holiness, how he got it. And in so doing, how he developed to become one of these great leaders. 39 years he was the Catholicos of all Armenians. That's longer than most. I believe it's something like 6 or 7 Catholicoi that have had such a, perhaps even less, maybe it's 3 or 4 that have had that long of a tenure as the chief pontiff of the Armenian Church. He certainly is somebody that is important in my life. I hope that by presenting this, I let you know how important he is for all of us as far as an inspiration and as far as a message that even lives today, a legacy built on love. Let's take a break right now. Here is Susie. Well, yeah, I can't avoid the once the piano player comes in, I got to go to a break. Here's Susie. I'll be back with my final parting shots.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you to all of you, our listeners, for all the wonderful letters and cards. Yes, I got a card that I got this week. I actually got a mail card. Yeah, yes, which reminds me, our address is P.O. Box 70773, Pasadena, California, 91117. In His Shoes is the address. But yes, thank you for all of the ways that you reach out and your emails and your texts. Try to avoid the texts. Those are kind of like interesting to me because I haven't been able to get on top of all the texts. Emails are kind of nice because they're kind of archived in your inbox. Texts, you kind of, for at least for me, I've got to remember who sent what. And anyway, I appreciate emails. Let's say it that way, okay? Yes, yes, old world, old school email, okay? So mark it down, okay? It's pretty easy to remember. It's called feedback, yeah, because you're giving me feedback, at epostle. Epostle is easy to remember. That's apostle with an E. Electronic. Expanding Universe. Feedback at epostle.net. Very easy, okay? I mean, like, oh, if I were you, I'd just have it tattooed on someplace, like maybe on the back of the palm of my hand, so as I'm typing on my old-style computer, I can just get it. Or if you're inclined to send your emails via your text apparatus, like your smartphone, then have it tattooed on your right hand fingers. So you can just, unless you're left-handed. Oh, am I just getting too technical or what? Let's call it a day, okay? Thank you so much for being with us today. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. I'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us at all the socials on top of the emails, okay? This is Father Vazgen, along with Susie, our producer, and our Ken, our engineer, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step. And happy anniversary, Var and Lore.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of VPostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
You're seeing the same sky as we are.